From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, is it December 21st, 2012, or is it before that? Stay tuned. Here's what's happening. Well, the Transportation Security Administration is changing its policy on how screeners can search children. TSA Administrator John Pistole announced the change at a meeting of the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. The change was prompted by outrage over a video recorded pat-down of a little six-year-old airline passenger at the New Orleans airport on April 5th. The video, which was posted on YouTube, shows the girl protesting at first to the search, although she complies quietly while it is underway. The new policy will apply to children 10 years old or younger. But let's give credit where credit's due. Alex Jones, of course, award-winning filmmaker and host himself. He's been screaming about this for a long time. Alex, they finally did something right, somewhat, huh?
Well, yes, they're starting to cave in to reality and the fact that this trains children to allow people to molest them. You know, we teach our children, don't let strangers touch you anywhere, much less on private areas. And then we take our children in and let these government people in a public place sit there and fondle them. And this is somewhat of a victory because now Pistole has said this on video for the Congress. The problem is they claimed in November of last year, and USA Today ran with this, that they were going to stop under 12. Then they claimed it again in April. So we've really got to hold into this. I flew to New York a few weeks ago and saw them patting children down in Austin when I left, and also in New Jersey at Newark Liberty. But here's the other big twist, George. Texas has resurrected that bill to make it a felony if they touch men and women, not just children, because of some of the groping that's happened to some of the state legislators. And the feds announced today they will run a blockade. So we've got to watch this in the next few weeks, a block, because they're set to vote on it tomorrow, and it's going to pass in Texas, to run a blockade of all air traffic into Texas and to sue Texas over this. So this is big. And, George, you also deserve a lot of the credit for helping to expose this before anybody else was talking about it.
Alex Jones, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and, of course, he's also heard all over the map. Thanks, Alex. The five Russian nuclear experts killed in a plane crash in northern Russia earlier this week had assisted in the design of an Iranian atomic facility. The five Russian experts were among the 44 passengers killed when the plane simply broke apart and caught fire on landing. The experts, including a Russian top technological expert in nuclear field, worked at a facility after the contract for the plant's construction passed from the German company to the Russian hands. In a moment, Stephen Quayle joins us. We'll talk about this. And as you know, Stephen has been following the bizarre case of the dying microbiologists for the last few years. Let's see if this has anything to do with that. The rapidly rising Souris River poured over flood defenses in Minot, North Dakota, overwhelming efforts to delay the deluge and forcing the immediate evacuation of thousands of homes. City officials had ordered residents to vacate about a quarter of North Dakota's fourth largest city, but the massive water flows from the heavy rains from Canada hastened the evacuation about 5 hours quick as defenses began to fail. About 12,000 residents live in areas expected to be swamped by floodwaters. Health officials say the death of an Arizona resident who recently traveled to Germany may be linked to the food poisoning outbreak in Europe. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said the death is under investigation. The Arizona resident had a severe E. coli complication that led to immediate kidney failure. At least 40 people have died in Germany so far from E. coli. There have been 5 confirmed cases of sickness in the United States connected to the outbreak. They are in Michigan, Massachusetts, Wisconsin, and North Carolina. But this was the first reported death in this country because of that, they think. 2 women who say that they suffered severe medical complications from a generic drug lost their Supreme Court appeal, essentially ending their separate lawsuits against pharmaceutical manufacturers. The justices said that the generic drug companies do not share the same level of responsibility as makers of brand name equivalents. to update their warning labels when significant new risks emerge. They don't have to do that. Dr. Len Horowitz with us. Len, I find this ruling to be appalling. How about you?
Absolutely, and it's a can of worms, George. You can't make any sense of it. The Supreme Court was divided 5-4. I believe that the minority decision by Sotomayor et al., these folks basically laid it on the Food and Drug Administration that, and the generic manufacturers, where they're saying that the drug makers are supposed to tell the Food and Drug Administration to upgrade the labels when new symptoms or problems are found from drug side effects. But, you know, these guys are literally, and the decision itself is a reflection of Goldman Sachs running Congress and running all the legislation and heavily involved in the drug cartel itself. So the decision is another victory, which we would have expected from a right-wing majority in the Justice Department. And it's very sick and sad for 75% of the people in America that are taking the generic drugs. They are not better off tonight.
You got that right. Len, thank you so much. His website will be part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. A sweeping new study finds that men with prostate cancer who smoke significantly increase their risk of dying, not just from the cancer itself, but also from cardiovascular disease. The report adds to a mounting body of evidence that links fatal prostate cancer and cigarette use. And Dr. Johnny Bowden, PhD, is a nationally known expert on weight loss and nutrition and health, board-certified nutritionist with a master's degree in psychology, and the author of 9 books on health healing. He told me that natural ingredients will help your prostate.
And there are natural plants like saw palmetto, which actually turn down this conversion of this metabolite that causes benign prostate hyperplasia. So there really are some wonderful natural remedies for this that can really keep your prostate very healthy.
Johnny, at what age do you think men should be taking things, supplements, to help themselves?
Well, I believe supplementation from childhood. So, you know, we have recommendations for kids and teenagers. It's very important for children. But if you're talking specifically about prostate health, obviously, I think around 40 is a good time to be thinking about that stuff. People really know when they have those increased visits to the bathroom. It's pretty obvious. So I would say sometime around 40 is a good time to be thinking about including some kind of a good prostate health formula in your basic regimen.
All right, guys, take care of yourself. Hey, blame the potato chip. It's the biggest demon behind the pound-a-year weight creep that plagues many people. A major diet study finds this, that bigger than soda, candy, and ice cream. And the reason? Partly because of the old advertising cliche, you just can't eat one. A story in the news at coasttocoastam.com. A massive sea creature has washed up on the beach in China, so badly decayed it cannot be positively identified at this time. The sea monster is 55 feet long, weighs approximately 4.5 tons. How would you like to have that thing chasing you in the water? Mm-mm, not me. Up next, Stephen Quayle joins us. We talk about the Russian scientists who died in a plane crash. Is it unusual? Stephen's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We've got Stephen Quayle for you this hour. Stephen, of course, noted author, host, of course, website stevequayle.com. We've talked with Stephen about so many subjects over the years, including the Bible, giants, UFOs, biological warfare. Tonight, we're going to be talking about this strange story, strange because it hit me the wrong way, that 5 top Russian nuclear experts are killed in a plane crash. One of them was one of their top technological experts. Stephen, is this unusual to you, or is it just a fluke accident?
It's definitely not a fluke accident. It's an orchestrated assassination, and I want to take everybody back almost 10 years ago, George, to October 4th, 2001, and this is the situation when 5 unnamed microbiologists, Israelis, on a plane that was brought down by a missile near the Black Sea on the Russian border. They were traveling from Israel to Russia, and obviously they were experts in medical research and public health. Now, here's the big story, and this is why I think you keyed in on it. When you've got 5 of the who's who, and by the way, again, it's not so much when a plane goes down, is it the plane accident that's important, but who's on board. And when you've got 5 of Russia's top experts, and basically the official story is that they were working on the Bushehr nuclear plant to make it earthquake proof. The real story behind the scenes is they were basically transferring a lot of operations to other centers that would allow the Iranians to continue to manufacture nuclear weapons, and it's a given Iran has had nuclear weapons, but their own manufacturing. Now, here's what's interesting. I don't think people understand that in the intelligence arena, people have long memories. So immediately when I heard that five top Russian scientists were basically involved in a Tupolev 134 plane crash, I triggered back to a story you and I have covered a couple times on Coast to Coast with the five Israeli microbiologists that died in October, 2001, and then another three killed a very famous scientist, three more scientists. Now, what's fascinating is you're talking about nuclear weapons experts in the Russian case and biological weapons experts in the Israeli case, and now you're talking about, George, the tension in the Middle East escalating to a point where even the news today is Syrian tanks and Turkish tanks are on their mutual border ready to face off. So the real story is, and by the way, they can say it was foggy and cloudy. This is very similar to the execution of Ron Brown, the former Secretary of State who was taken out. And I said Secretary of State, I'm sorry, when he was, what, Secretary
Commerce.
Of Commerce.
Commerce.
And the thing is that there are all these stories. Now, obviously, you can use command detonators, means you blow the airplane up at a certain point. You can use atmospheric or barometric detonators, and you can also foul the electronics. You can electronically scramble based on the location of a transmitter or based on a placement of a scrambler in the aircraft itself. This, to me, is a direct indication that the war in the intelligence field and world is going on full blast, pun intended, and these guys were taken out by, and I don't know who, but I think if you put two and two together, you can arrive at, I think this is basically the war that's going on to keep, obviously, Iran's nuclear weapons manufacturing capability at a disadvantage, especially if you take it in context of the Stuxnet worm that attacked, you know, the United States has been blamed for it, et cetera. So in the world of clandestine operations, this was a definite assassination of five top nuclear scientists. And when you read the byline on that story, as I know you did, and they said, well, there's no official indication of foul play, that's kind of like the direct admission that, of course, there is. The FSB, the ones that took over, actually the KGB changed their name, they're all over this. And I can tell you point blank that there is direct linkage between this, the Black Sea episode. And if you remember, all these things seem to just basically hit the radio or hit the news lines and bylines and headlines, and then they somehow get washed under the carpet. I think I would commend you on having your radar up. This is truly an assassination by someone of five top Russian scientists.
And you know what? The Russians are pretty quiet about this, Stephen. How come?
Well, in the world of payback, okay, payback can be a very, very, how should we say, unusual game. The Russians are doing the homework, and they still have one of the best intelligence organizations in the world. Obviously, everybody is tracking who's where, who had access to the aircraft, who has access to the technology. So let not silence be a tantamount endorsement. Oh, gee, this was just a normal accident. It has too many parallels to Ron Brown. It has too many parallels to the Black Sea. And if people want to go to my website, George, I want to draw their attention to that time period between October and November of 2001. You've had Doug Hagman on your show when it comes to terrorism. Now, this all plays into this thing. When Dr. Wiley was found off of in Tennessee, he's a guy that basically they made all types of stories up about, and then the medical examiner, and you and I talked about this, who did the investigation into his death and ruled it was an accident, he was found, if you remember, tied up with barbed wire and a bomb. Do you remember that story? We talked about that.
Is he the one that fell off the bridge?
Yeah. Or was pushed off.
Pushed
the bridge.
Off it. Sure.
And so right now we're up to, I think, close to 120 scientists. Now, I haven't had a chance to update this yet. My webmaster will be doing that over the weekend. But the point that I think people need to understand is they must keep, this is critical, when you have the who's who, whether it's in nuclear weapons, biological weapons, chemical weapons, ethnic weapons, when you have these guys and ladies, they're also ladies, disappearing like this, we have an absolute, I would say, train of evidence that leads to the war that's ongoing. And the war that you see with Afghanistan, Iraq, every place the United States is involved, the real war right now is in the intelligence communities. And let's just say this. They say payback can be a real pain. They use another word, but we'll just use the word pain. And I think that that's what we're going to watch. So where I'm going to track this story to is I'm going to basically put out my feelers to whoever, and typically after doing coast to coast, I'll get the anonymous emails through some remailer service in Austria or something. And I think it's critical that people understand that even when you and I talked about the biological weapon that was designed and released in Germany, and it came that Germany, or the information came out that Germany was not going to play ball with the elite, and then all of a sudden everything changed. I think what people have got to understand is the headlines in one realm do not necessarily indicate that the other realms are non-related. Everything is related in foreign policy. Terrorism is nothing more than foreign policy being initiated through cutouts or hired terrorists, and all terrorists aren't just ideologues. There's big money in terrorism, so the key is to track the funds. Obviously, everybody's working on this, and this was, again, an orchestrated assassination. I believe now there will be payback again on this. It never ends, but I will say this. It took almost 10 years to let's say someone even the score, and I think it's going to come out who the someone is, and I think that we're going to expect to see more of this sort of thing, more scientists. And by the way, another nuclear scientist was found murdered, and you know, it's amazing that people just seemingly take the word of the most pathetic investigative journalism that's ever been seen in the history of the world in the United States. That's my opinion. And so we're talking about all these murdered scientists and all of the excellence and the shills. Those are the paid government informers. So all this is just a wild goose chase. There's nothing to this. Well, the flack that will be generated over this, there won't be a lot of public flack unless obviously someone takes this very seriously tonight. But there will be so many activities that will result from this that you're going to see an escalation of tension, in my opinion, that's going to probably verge on leading us into Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's the war in the Middle East.
Interesting. What's new in the world of Steve Quayle?
Well, what's new in the world of Steve Quayle, finally, as you know, last time I was on your show, my book Angel Wars has just come out. I'm shipping them now. And we'll talk about that at some point, but Angel Wars is tying all of it together, George. UFOs, the ancient history. You and I know that every day a new ancient civilization is coming forth. There are new technological developments that obviously are tracking back to Roswell. We're now, you remember when the story, the official story of Mars that had no water, no life forms, now it's got water.
Now it's got everything, and now the moon has everything.
Now the moon has everything. So I think that obviously, and when Father Malachi Martin was questioned by Art Bell and in the days, you know, and I maintain he was murdered also, the extraterrestrial and the whole ancient civilization, fallen angel thing is coming in. And when you and I first started doing shows about transhumanism and genetic manipulation, Genetic Armageddon is one of the books that I wrote, the thing is people just couldn't see it. And then they started seeing and hearing about mice with human ears growing or this or that. And now we're accelerating to where Dr. Ventnor said they've created an artificial life form. Well, what I'm concerned with is the archaeobacteria that's been in Lake Vostok in Antarctica. And on my website, for people who have never understood that World War II did not end in 1945, but continued years after that in the South Atlantic and the Nazis' base in Antarctica, which was called New Schwabenland, all of this stuff I'm taking into consideration in my new book, Angel Wars. And Angel Wars is, in my opinion, 815 footnotes, 115 illustrations.
Stenson.
And I maintain that mythology, George, obviously isn't just a bunch of crazy people sitting around smoking peyote or drinking the wrong kind of hallucinogens coming up with this stuff. The central theme, obviously, from the most ancient stelae or engravings in stone or signs on rocks, petroglyphs, it all points to something very unusual, whether we've got the Wajina in Australia, those are the tall figures with space helmets, whether we've got the Pyramid of Saqqara showing helicopters and saber jets and all of these things that we now see. I would encourage people to go to my website and take a look at Angel Wars, and at some point, I think, you know, we need to talk about that, because again, what is in the past dictates what's coming in the future.
And Stephen, when we come back, let's talk about Judgment Day and take some phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Dr. Carl Caliban joins us as we'll talk about 2012, and he believes it's much earlier than that. We'll find out why. When we come back, we'll take phone calls with Stephen Quayle right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Stephen, before we take some calls with you, let's talk about Judgment Day. As you know, Harold Camping was talking about May 21st. It did not happen. He had a stroke a few weeks ago, but prior to that said it will be October 21st. What's your take on all of that? Yeah, I mean, you're
very spiritual. Well, I think we are already seeing judgment days. I think the people that try and put a date on a singular day are missing the greatest set of obvious things going on, whether it's the flooding, the tornadoes, the volcanoes. And by the way, I don't know if you've already mentioned to your listeners, there have been one 7.4 and one 7.2 in the Aleutian Islands a little bit earlier tonight. We're seeing absolute geologic upheaval. We're seeing the volcanoes. We're seeing, obviously, something coming into our solar system that's causing electrical discharges, and whether it's Planet X, the 10th planet, some people call it Nibiru, the World of Special Operations calls it Gabriel's Fist. All of the different indicators are that we're in for a time period, and I don't know your guest, but I'm with him. The 2012 December 21st date, it's going to happen much sooner. And here's something I think your listeners are getting. I heard your intro, and I agree. I believe the Coast to Coast listeners are some of the brightest people in the world. That's not flattery. It's not kissing anybody's anything. It just happens to be true. Because in the world of total lies, there's nothing, and I know this is going to sound just total bottom line, but there is nothing in the mainstream press in the United States of America that is truth. Nothing. It is all controlled. It is all propaganda. It is all a singular viewpoint. And what makes me so upset, George, is that they are keeping such life-changing, life-threatening issues away from the American public that you've got to read other papers. I'd say I spend 90% of my time, which is considerable, reading other publications outside the United States. There's probably not much I read inside the United States any longer. Saying that, we are already seeing judgment. We're seeing famine. As you know, when I wrote the book Weather Wars, people still don't believe that the United States, Russia, and China now have technology that they can control the weather. If you get the guys that are in charge of weapons claiming it, like Defense Secretary Cohen, Zbigniew Brzezinski, all of the people that are absolute the who's who in the world of science saying, yeah, we do it, we've been doing it for a long time, then I think the old statement, well, I don't think, yeah, that's right, people don't think. And the problem is that these monsters that are keeping, I blame the mainstream press because, again, they're controlled by the elite. And if it weren't for alternative talk radio, I think people would absolutely be totally slaughtered. And instead of those who can get it, you know, we've talked about food. You've had advertisers on Coast to Coast for over a decade talking about the necessity to prepare. Now we're seeing astronomically high prices. We're seeing, obviously, the Mississippi River basin flooding. We've seen the Gulf coast decimated, and all the propaganda is just nothing more than propaganda. We're seeing the coral reefs, and yet now there seems to be a little more concern in most people because 44 million people are on food stamps. So are we looking for a singular day of judgment? I think the Middle East is going to be the thermometer, barometer. We're seeing now everybody staging their weapons, their wars, their missiles, their navies. And isn't it interesting, you and I spoke about this, that the Middle East almost seemed to go up on cue.
Yep.
Well, we're the ones that were stoking that fire. We overthrew Mubarak. There's a war going on between Saudi Arabia and the United States. And for the record, when you hear of Yemen and you hear of the United Arab Emirates and you hear of every upheaval that's taking place, know this. Those things are funded and they are initiated by someone's command. So someone wants to change the entire scope of the world. The elite have a simple motto. The old has to go. The order out of chaos. The old world, obviously nation states, obviously belief system, obviously the morality of what I believe a God-created universe has to give way to the techno-humanism of supernatural evil that's soon to be released. And I think it is already being released. And if people think that the things that go bump in the night are going to be little fur balls, they're going to find out that their worst nightmare. Let's give a good example. I think one of the most amazing examples is the leaking of the word zombies. And the word zombies is interesting. I'm doing I'm actually co-authoring a piece on zombies, because when you've got the CDC talking about the zombie apocalypse and then the military floating, you know, their manual on how to deal with zombies, whether it's a parody or not, and you've got the history of MK Ultra and the Central Intelligence Agency's mind control, and then you've got the voodoo, and you've got all this stuff going back literally thousands of years, I think it becomes relevant. They don't use words like zombie apocalypse and zombie war and in all the movies on zombies unless something's going on. And what is the whole basis of that? It's usually a pathogen that's initiated by someone, whether it's alien or mad scientist that turns people into a bunch of flesh-eating zombies. Chemtrail sprays, as Cliff Carnicom, great website, cliffcarnicom.com, has said that there's genetically altered red blood cells. We're hearing about GMO food being altered. We're hearing about human baby embryos being used as flavor enhancers. It sounds to me like somebody's got a prescription from the cannibal dictionary or the cannibal recipe book, and somebody is telegraphing their punches. And so we are already under, in my opinion, the most extreme attack on all fronts. And I know this sounds terrible, but we better get realistic. It only gets worse from here.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Kim in Philadelphia to get us started. Hi, Kim.
Hi, I'm really, really happy you're taking my call. Thanks so much. How are you?
Good.
I'm calling because I wanted to give a confirmation on April 3rd, 1996. I was returning from India, and our flight took a real low dive. Come find out there was fuselage on the ground. Later, I found out that was Ron Brown's plane crash. And it was the actual media did not portray that plane crash properly. It was not in a mountain. It wasn't cloudy. It wasn't overcast. It was a sunny day. It was early in the morning and bright. So I wanted to know what your guest may have to say about this conspiracy element, because this is the first I've heard, you know, confirmation.
Okay, sure thing. Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, the conspiracy was very much in force. Actually, some people broke ranks within the intelligence community and got different information out. As you know, Ron Brown also had head wounds, and how he was supposedly assassinated was with CO2 bullets that actually melted in the cranium. Actually, in essence, the bullets were designed to stay hard and in the body temperature so that you could hide it. There were supposedly hitters. That means assassins dispatched. It was an electronic jamming beacon, that actually a homing beacon that took the aircraft's electronics out of the realm of being able to lock onto the airport. And that whole thing was one of the biggest giant cover-ups. And if you remember the story, the conspiracy associated with that was he was going to break ranks with the Clinton administration and go public. Well, once he said that, his fate was sealed. So that's what I'm saying has happened to the Russian situation that's just taken place also.
Jeff is in Ferguson, Missouri, and you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, George. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Steve. It's Jeff. I'm the first, real quick, before for my question. I'm the one that emailed you about the dream in Egypt.
Okay.
But anyway, my question is, there's an EAS nationwide test in November. Could the death of these Russian scientists have any connection to that test?
Well, absolutely, because, again, when you take the death of the Russian scientists, see, they weren't there just to harden the Iranian facilities against the Israeli strikes. They were there also setting up command communication control by remote locations. So the thing is that there's way more going on there than we hear in the public. And so it's absolutely linked to this time period that everything is supposedly getting ready to blow up on, whether it's the October, November, September, October time frame. The United States is moving more men and materials inside the country, more helicopters. I put on my website there, you probably saw it, from an officer in the Midwest talking about he's nervous, and he's a veteran. He knows what's going on. He's nervous about how he sees the parallel of what's going on, the training for a false flag terror attack in this country. That's what Alex Jones has been worried about. That's what George and I talked about a couple weeks ago. And it appears that, obviously, there are so many men in motion, there are so many activities taking place that we are on a war footing inside the country. And as you know, you've heard me, I assume, and read my stuff, I'm concerned that the enemies are not the American people, as the Department of Homeland Security and others are trying to make it out, but at the time we are undergoing a civil war and civil strife and everybody's turned against everybody, that's when I think we're going to get hit from the outside. And absolutely, China and Russia have signed new armament treaties. They're cooperating. And the tension with China is so thick that it's unbelievable. What I'm told from behind the scenes is the tension is on a war footing. And that's something that you won't hear in the vomit brokering press. You know, George, I maintain that the mainstream press, you have two choices of vomit, either get hot vomit or cold vomit. But either way, at the end of the day, you end up with vomit.
Hollywood, California. Douglas, your turn. You're on with Stephen Quayle. Hi, Doug.
Hi, George. Good evening, Steve. How are you doing?
Good, sir.
Good. Listen, Bob, a good friend of mine who was a Vietnam vet was also assassinated by the military. He was 56 years old. He got a pancreatic cancer. The day that the Ron Brown incident happened, I believe that was a military transport plane, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it a C-1? And they were going to Bosnia, and there were some executives, they were trying to get Bosnia back on its feet.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we saw the outcome of that. And the one thing, too, that people don't realize is, I think just to kind of close it up, like about 3 days later or a week later, didn't the air traffic controller commit suicide?
Well, yeah, he didn't commit suicide. He was also assassinated. And if you remember, there were Russians.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know that's what you mean. Like, how do you know when there's an assassination? Whenever it's stated that it's a suicide.
The classic was David Kelly, the Brit, that they said killed himself, slit his wrists, and there was no blood found near his body.
Right, and his body was moved. And by the way, you and I were on the air, if you remember, either the day he was murdered or the day after. And I went on record as he was murdered. Then the British had this cover the whole thing up and all of the inquiries and everything. And at the end of all these years, of course, he was murdered. And he was murdered for what he knew. And by the way, Dr. David Kelly was brilliant. He was ahead of Porton Down, which is Britain's biological and chemical defense industry. And he was not satisfied with the reasons that the United States was building its case to go into Iraq. But there was way more than that, George. In the world of biological and chemical weapons, the sophistication has got so it's so race-specific, genetic-specific, and now we find out that there's the Defense Department is working on vaccines to absolutely be able to attack specific areas of the brain where your belief systems are at. And everybody said, oh, that's just a phony thing. I can tell you from people that I've interviewed that live in the world of the ones that are still alive, I should say, that live in that world is that they have pretty much mapped the human brain to such an infinite degree that they're able to just about kill anybody at any time for any reason, and then it just seems like, oh, it's brain cancer or whatever. So what we're now in a realm of biological chemical, nuclear, and other weapons that are being, and listen, everybody's making war on everybody with the weather war modification, the Tesla physics. Russian Zhirinovsky came out saying that they had their Ellipton weapon. We talked about that, George, you and I did, almost 6 or 7 years ago, and everybody said, well, it's just Mad Vlad, Zhirinovsky blown off steam. No, there are so many intersecting signals going on. Dutch Sintz, the guy that you've probably seen his videos, George, that showed prior to the tornadoes, he called it like nobody ever called it. And he was showing the radar signatures. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not that radar causes the tornadoes, but radar is picking up the scalar waves and different forms of energy. And I got to tell you something, if people would have heeded him, I believe a lot of lives would have been saved. So my hat's off to him. So now we're seeing scalar, even in Montana. Most people don't realize, I live in Montana, but Montana is the source of the Missouri River. And I don't think most people think it, they just don't know that. We've got 230 to 300% snowfall in our mountains that still has not melted off yet. We, today in Bozeman, for instance, we had the first day that came close to 80. Saying all that, I was watching up around Great Falls, and I saw an unusual, a full blocking front that was an electromagnetic emanation. They showed it on the evening news about 10 o'clock. And so what I'm saying is the rain that we have had incessant is going into the Missouri. And obviously we know now that places downstream or downriver in the Missouri are flooding. And the nuclear reactors, if you remember when you and I were on the show talking about that 3 weeks ago, I said, if I were them, I'd shut them down now. You remember that?
I remember that.
And now we've got all the counterclaims and 18 inches and the tritium, and tritium is a, you know, a nuclear fissionable product. It's not going to cause a chain reaction. But all of the nuclear information that's coming out of Fukushima, all of that data went strangely silent. And then we've got reports of a 56% increase in infant mortality. I can tell you this, basic science, all radiation is cumulative, and where you're seeing dose rates that normally a lethal dose, LD50, just simply means that 50% of the people exposed to a certain level of radiation are going to die. When you see people being exposed to massive doses of radiation, and then people wanting to rewrite what's a critical radiation exposure, you know, the greatest cover-up, the greatest tragedy and travesty. So the point is, we have all these converging points that are taking place and weapons that are taking place, whether it's biological. Some night, you and I need to do a show on the electromagnetic induction of disease. Tom Bearden wrote a genius-level production quantifying and qualifying all of the research that's going on. In other words, you don't even have to brew it up in a lab anymore. You can beam it. And the Russians did that to our U.S. embassy staff in Moscow. They figured out a way how to broadcast disease. So now we've got a fascinating set of circumstances going on where it's all converging. And I think everybody, even the sleepy in this country, know that there's something really wrong going on. And I would say this, again, there is no zero, nada, niet, no truth in the American press. They have failed to be investigative journalists, and thank God for the time we have talk radio and the alternative press.
Let's go to our next caller. Regina's in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll squeeze you in here. Hi, Regina.
Hi. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I understand that when your guest came on, he said that something to the effect of using baby embryos as flavor enhancers. Can he expound on that?
Well, sure. There's actually, you can go to my website, stevewhale.com, or just go to a Google search and put in human embryonic flavor enhancers, and there's a list of all the who's who in major food producers that are using a derivative substance from human embryos. Now, here's the thing. We all know the standard spices. Obviously, the spice trade has been around. But ask yourself a question. Let's just say, you say, well, I haven't seen it, so I don't believe it. Well, and I'm not saying you're like that, Regina, but if you would go and look at what the stories are speaking to these extracts of human embryos, you've got to ask your question, okay, if what we eat is what we become, why in the world is there so much attenuation or attack on genetically modifying the food that people take, and then why incorporate blood into it? Well, my answer to that is blood or body fluids or embryo extracts. Embryo extracts go into our genome and go into our DNA quicker than, let's just say, some of the substances. So I'm saying this. I'm saying I haven't put it all together yet, but it should be very frightening and a matter of major concern when human beings are used. And by the way, Tom Danheiser and I were talking, George, about the Japanese scientist that now wants to take human feces and turn it into steak. Are you familiar with that story?
I'm not even touching that one with a 10-foot pole. That story is, yeah, I am.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and I got to be delicate with this subject, okay? But it's a real story. The gist of it is that a Japanese scientist has gone on record as stating that due to the increased population, that he can take human waste, he can basically treat it, get rid of the E. coli, and turn it into a food substance, add red dye, and
appetizing, Stephen. Thanks. Stephen Quayle, up next, 2012, or is it 2011? We'll find out.